is Gordon Johnson.
Hollow heart and watermelon has been a problem in our triploid production or seedless production, which results in some serious issues economic for growers. And what happens is there's a separation between the three segments of the fruit, sometimes being so large that it creates a situation where they are no longer marketable. And you can see different stages of this. We find this actually starting to occur early in the development, and that's what I'm going to talk to you some about today, as well as our what we think is cause a root cause of this. You get to these cross fissures, which are your worst-case scenario. And, of course, these are the issues related to it with rejections, consumer complaints. But the big issue for our growers is we can't predict it. Over the years, there have been a lot of theories as to what causes it. None of them have really borne out, except for, I think, been over the last couple of years, been able to track down potential causes. So these are some of the theories over the years, differences in growth, those things affecting growth, stress. What I'm going to concentrate on this area of pollination and the time frame immediately past pollination. If you think about the whole series of events that have to go on to set a watermelon and get it to maturity and marketable stage, there are a number of different steps that it has to go through. I'm going to be focusing on this segment here with pollen production, pollen transfer, and then what's going on the fertilization event. And then I think we're getting more evidence that what's going on is in this cell division stage. And there you can see it starts off when pollen's transferred from a pollinizer, which is a diploid seeded variety, to the triploid. And this sets off this triggers a series of events, which ends in fruit set. So I had some leftover watermelon plants. This is one of those things, they're kind of serendipity. That has ended up being quite a research project for us over the years. We had some leftover watermelon plants, and from some suggestions from people like Jonathan Schulteis and Steve Olson, I said, well, let's try limiting pollen. Maybe that might do something. So we set up two different ways to limit pollen, one where we had a pollinizer and different lengths, distance from that pollinizer, or where we had a pollinizer and we had it separated. So essentially we were limiting pollen maybe three or four times less pollen than what would be normally available for fruit set in a standard production field. And lo and behold, what we found is as we got further away from a pollen source, we got more hollow heart. Totally unexpected. It was really kind of a eureka-type moment. Whoa, we might have something here. And you can see, again, as we move further and further, we got more and more hollow heart till most of the watermelons were actually hollow-hearted away from a pollen source. Remember, that pollen source is a diploid seeded variety. And it really didn't matter where the set was occurring. If we did get set on different nodes, we still saw increased hollow heart with an increased distance from the pollen source. And really didn't matter how big the fruit was. One of the theories was it was a larger fruit that we're more likely to hollow heart. We saw hollow heart in small fruits. We saw hollow heart in larger fruits. And one thing there was a relationship with was that the longer the watermelon was in length to diameter, the more susceptible it was to hollow heart. So between 2011 and 2013, we set up a really simple design where we had one pollen source and then the seedless plants planted on either side. So we had one pollen source for every 10 plants. And then we would coat open and mark where set was occurring in each of these plants. A lot of time to do this, but believe it or not, this simple design came up with some very, very interesting information. So from 2012, This was a really remarkable thing in science. I like showing this because you rarely get this. This is the plant distance. That'll be every meter from the pollen source. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Actually, 3 feet. We were doing it in English units. And this is the percentage of hollow heart. You can see the straight line relationship in this particular variety. I don't think I'll ever repeat that in my lifetime, but it is fun to show. You can see this variety always has had a tendency to hollow heart. It was one I chose earlier just on growers telling me which one hollow heart did worse, and it certainly does. And we can do this with just limiting pollen. Another variety that's very commonly planted in throughout the southeast, and you can see it really didn't hollow heart significantly until you got much further from pollen source. So again, there's a genetics, there's a variety a response here, and we're trying to figure out what that is, what's really causing, why are different varieties different. And again, showing as far as the weight of the watermelon, we did get in 2012, some of the larger watermelons tended to have more hollow heart, whereas we didn't see that in previous years. So we still are unsure whether or not the size of the watermelon is related to hollow heart as far as frequency. And we didn't really see any difference. One of the things people would say, well, it's because you're setting less fruit. Well, in these experiments, we looked at the amount of fruit set from position 1 to position 5 away from the pollen source, and really we didn't see any difference in the number of fruit set, but we did see a difference in hollow heart. So I think we can rule that out as far as being just a solitary watermelon that's going to hollow heart more than if there are more watermelons on a plant. And looking at the fruit yields, the fruit weight, at the, you can see that in the experiments, we didn't really get any difference in fruit weight or number of fruit set with a distance. So we're seeing more hollow heart, but we're not really seeing differences in fruit set. So again, pollen limitation is giving us this effect on the fruit, and we're trying to figure out why that's occurring. We also tried some experiments seeing if we could do some over-the-top spray of growth regulators to reduce down or increase. This was another experiment to improve fruit set, but we also were looking at whether or not it had effect in hollow heart. So we were looking at gibberellins and cytokinins and auxins in commercially available formulations that either were or were not labeled for watermelons. And that's what you saw in the controls. But we did see that we had an increase in hollow heart where we applied auxins. So there's a hormonal potential issue there also. We did some hand pollinations, and we saw where we added pollen in a pollen-limiting area. We basically eliminated hollow heart, another evidence to that this might be a pollination issue. And then in 2013, we also added some varieties that we knew were very dense and didn't have hollow heart issues to see if we limited pollen, what would happen there. And in our Liberty, we had a lot of hollow heart. In our two varieties that had really dense flesh, we had a lot less hollow heart. So again, showing that there's a variety difference, and we have to figure out why the denser varieties have less problems with the issue. And you can just see there the varieties such as Crunchy Red had very little versus Liberty, which was one that hollow hearted quite a bit. The other thing we did last year was we did some pollen transfers at different levels. And the thing I wanted to show you here is that as we increased the, I'll show you this slide, as we had higher hollow heart frequencies with lower levels of pollen is basically what I want to show you here. So if we're transferred less pollen, we had more percentage of hollow heart. We transferred more pollen, we had less percentage of hollow heart. So over the years, I think that we've narrowed down that the pollination is certainly a big player into the potential for having hollow heart. So limiting pollen does give you a higher risk of hollow heart. Doesn't rule out other factors that might interact with pollination, things like nitrogen and water, all those things that people have talked about in the past. But really, I think that we're dealing with something tied to pollination, either pollen production, pollen viability, or pollen transfer. And so I've talked to growers about ways to deal with this. I'm not going to go over this today, but these are some of the management factors that I'm talking to growers about, and including things to deal with reduced pollen viability. It would be increasing the amount of pollen and pollinators, reducing reduced pollen production would be, again, having either a mixture of pollinizers that produce more pollen. Pollinizer selection would be an important thing there. And then pollen transfer goes down to bees and the management of bees, increasing the amount of bees in early conditions where you might see more hollow heart. So right now I have a graduate student who's also looking at this whole area of what's happening during that fruit development phase. One of the most interesting things that we've just found out is that hollow heart's kind of the natural state of a watermelon when you first cut it open right after it's pollinated. And then within 5 days, that gap closes to where there's no opening in the in that ovary, that fertilized ovary. So that really is looking at the idea that there's something affecting cell division in that early stage, and we really think that it's a lack of hormone production that increases the number of cells, so we're going to be looking at that and doing some hormone analysis in early watermelon fruit. And then we're also looking at improving fruit set with growth regulators and how that might affect hollow heart. So these are our acknowledgments with our Watermelon Association, our Department of Agriculture, my graduate student, Don Seifert, who's also doing a lot of this very interesting work and making some very interesting discoveries every day, it seems. So with that, any questions? Yeah. Yeah, if the pollen's limiting, it certainly can. So let's say that your pollinizer is just not producing enough pollen. It's going downhill for some reason. One of the things that we found, for example, is a lot of the pollinizers are very susceptible to mite damage, and so that they can have a lot of extra stress on them. That means they're not producing as much pollen. And so, yeah, you can have continued problems, even though the early might be caused by weather. Your later problems may be caused by something entirely different, like plant, the health of the pollinizer. You can improve, reduce hollow heart with some hormone applications. There's nothing I can recommend at this time, but the trouble there is trying to figure out what to do to get it to work. There's really going to be nothing. I don't think the growers are going to be able to spray over top to limit hollow heart. I can tell you what to spray over the top to increase hollow heart. CPP over the top will increase hollow heart. Yeah, John.
Did you account for, you said incidence of hollow heart. How about the severity? What did you do with that? Or did
we have severity measures on all. We have severity on all of these, and I didn't put up that information.
In general, did you find that the severity was worse as you went further away?
Yeah, you would have bigger gaps. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you'll see massive gaps in when you're way a long distance from a pollen source.